the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Promises to never leave me.
I have
just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Well, brethren, what are we going to do? Stand here all day?
But John, I tell you, it is Peter.
Did you actually see him, Rhoda?
No, sir, but I heard his voice. It was Peter's voice.
Oh, impossible, Rhoda. Peter is in prison. He's locked and barred and guarded. Absolutely impossible for him to escape.
It is Peter. Please believe me.
Well, come on. Let's all go to the door and see who it really is.
It is Peter.
Now, if you will just be quiet, I'll tell you what happened. I was placed in a cell hewn from solid rock at the far end of the prison. Two guards were chained to my wrist so that I could not move without their knowledge. Each of the three gates had extra bolts and bars and was guarded by two soldiers, one on the inside, one on the outside. There were eight guards on duty at all times, making it impossible to escape. Well, I knew that you were all praying for me, and that my friend and Savior Jesus was watching and knew every word spoken and every move made. So what did I have to worry about? I knew that whatever happened to me was at the express will of Jesus. So I went peacefully to sleep as usual. Then I had a vision, an angel bright with the glory of heaven, touched me on the shoulder and awoke me by saying,
"Arise up quickly!"
Then I noticed the angel and the light of heaven filling the cell. As I arose, I was dimly aware that the chains had fallen from my wrists. Once more, the angel spoke,
"Gird yourself and bind on your sandals. Put on your garments and follow me."
As you all know, I'm never without words to speak, but in the vision I was so dumb from amazement that I didn't say a word. We stepped over the guard and reached the heavily bolted door, which of its own accord swung open silently. It closed again while the guards within and without were motionless at their post. The second door, also guarded within and without, was reached. It opened as did the first, with no creaking of hinges or rattling of iron bolts. We passed through, and the door closed by itself as noiselessly as it had opened. In the same way, we passed through the third gateway and found ourselves in the open street. No word was spoken. There was no sound of footsteps. The angel glided on, encircled by the light of dazzling brightness, and in the vision I followed. We passed through one street into another, and then the angel suddenly and silently disappeared. The heavenly light faded away, and I was in profound darkness. I tried to recall the events of the past few moments. I remembered falling asleep with my sandals and outer garments removed. I felt of myself and found that I was fully dressed and girded. My wrists were swollen, but they were free from the cruel manacles. As my eyes got used to the darkness, I looked, and behold, I recognized where I was. I had gone that way many times. Now I realized it was no vision, but that Jesus had sent his angel to deliver me out of the hands of Herod. Then I made my way here.
Oh, God heard and answered our prayers. He is a wonderful God, and Jesus is a matchless friend and Savior.
You really thought you were in a trance?
I felt sure I was dreaming, Matthew. At first I wondered, but when the guards took no notice of the brightness of the angel and the doors opening and closing without any noise, I came to the conclusion that I was dreaming or in a vision.
But why didn't the guards notice the bright light or the noise?
There wasn't any noise to hear. And as for seeing the bright light or the doors open and shut, and the angel and I passing through, I do not know. Perhaps God made them as dead men, in which case an hour, a year would have seemed to them as no time at all, and they would not have realized that anything at all had happened. Perhaps God closed off those portions of their mind that hear and see. There is nothing God cannot do except one thing.
What is that?
God cannot make anyone believe in him unless that person wants to believe. Force is evil, and God cannot be evil.
This is a wonderful experience we've had this day. But I imagine when day comes and Herod discovers your absence from prison, he's going to be furious. So, Peter, my advice is that you had better depart hence and go to another place.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Carlos,
that's easy for you to say. You didn't just get clobbered by Vernon, the biggest bully on the soccer team.
He does remind me of a dump truck.
Yeah, well, that dump truck just knocked me flat when the ref wasn't looking. I ought to...
You ought to what? He's bigger and stronger than you. You could punch him all day long, and he just keeps eating. Face it, you're David, and he's the giant.
Great. Where's my sling?
Carlos, I have an idea. Why don't we pray instead?
Pray? Now? I'm too mad.
Exactly. Didn't our teacher in Bible class tell us that praying is a good thing to do even when we're mad?
Our Bible teacher never met Vernon.
Well, maybe not, but I'm sure he's run into some pretty mean people. We don't see him going around punching everybody out.
So, how's praying going to help?
I don't know. It's a lot safer. Besides, God can do stuff we can't. Let him deal with Vernon.
Yeah, right. He'll probably try to love him and change him into a good person.
And that's a bad thing?
Okay, that's a good thing. I'll let God handle Vernon. But if that bully ever gets all kind and loving and tries to hug me, I'm out of here.
You never know. God can do some pretty amazing things, I hear.
Look, there he goes again, knocking down more fourth graders. Looks like God's got his work cut out for him.
I think he's up to it. Besides, praying is more fun than getting clobbered by a bully.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Ms. Kathy, I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you ever feel left out, like your friends want to be with someone else instead of you? What if you really needed those friends to help you solve a mystery? Chris and Maria discover an old safe in their grandparents' basement, but no one knows the combination. Who gave them money to build the cross above Mill Valley? Chris and Maria think the answer is inside the old safe. As they follow the clues, Chris learns some important lessons about friendship and jealousy, and about being a Christian. Chapter 6, A Clue in the Mail. Great-Grandpa Archer's old house sat in the oldest section of Mill Valley. The old house looks so strange here with those big business buildings just across the street, Chris thought, as he stared back through the old oak trees. Mrs. Vargas pulled the car up to the curb and switched off the ignition. They sat in the car and just looked. It must have been pretty once, Maria commented. Mom nodded. Chris noticed that one of the windows on the second story was broken. Some vines were winding their way up the two columns that led to the front door, and much of the paint was peeling. Worst of all, the house looked cold and dark. It certainly didn't look like a home. Chris sat back in the seat and stared for a long time at Great-Grandpa's house. He tried to think about where Great-Grandpa would have hidden the combination to his safe, and if Great-Grandpa was the one who donated the money to have the cross built. "Mom, do you think we can get inside the house and look around?" he asked. Mom thought a minute. "Maybe. I'll ask the pastor to speak to the mayor about it. I don't see why we couldn't." Chris hoped it would be all right. They needed to look inside Great-Grandpa's old house if they were going to have a chance of finding the combination. He was trying to fit the image of the house in his mind before Mom pulled away when he saw something he hadn't noticed before. It was on the very top of the house. Mom, what is that on the peak of the house? Mrs. Vargas leaned over and looked up through Maria's window. That's a wind vane. It shows which way the wind is blowing. I know that, Mom, but it looks like a man shooting an arrow, Chris added. It looks just like my statue. Dad was already home when Mom, Chris, Maria, and Yo-Yo came through the back door. He was sitting in his favorite chair reading the paper. Where have you guys been? Dad asked. Maria opened the closet to put her jacket away. We went to see Great-Grandpa Archer's old house. Mom walked into the living room. Chris is trying to find the combination to Grandpa Archer's old safe, and Maria is trying to prove Grandpa Archer donated the money for the cross up on the hill, she explained. Is that so? Dad said. Well, the paper has some news in it about the cross. It says someone has already claimed to have donated the money. I don't believe it, Maria protested. What if Chris and I prove Great-Grandpa was the one who donated the money for the cross? Then Mill Valley will want to honor him for it, Dad said, but you'll have to prove it. Well, that's what we're going to do, Maria stated. Dad smiled. I hope so. By the way, Maria, there is a letter addressed to you on the kitchen counter. Chris thought Maria was going to trample him on her way to the kitchen. I told you it was going to come today, he called after her. Maria didn't open the letter as soon as she got it like Chris would have. Instead, she started toward her room. Are you coming, Chris? She asked, cocking her head to one side. He was right behind her. I don't know if I want to open it, Maria said when they were settled on the floor next to her bed. It might not be a clue like I was hoping for at all. Chris smiled. We have to look everywhere, remember? Real detectives don't always find a clue the first time. They make a lot of mistakes. Hurry, let's open it. Maria turned the envelope over and tore the flap open with her fingernail. She took out a piece of stationery with Grandma's handwriting on it. It read, Dear Maria, I hope this photograph is what you were looking for. It didn't take Uncle John long to find it. Good luck. Love, Grandma. Maria took the photograph out of the envelope. You are right, Chris exclaimed. At the shoebox the next morning, Dee Dee stopped Chris. Is Ryan coming today? Chris's friend Ryan often visited the shoebox for church, even though he wasn't really a Christian. Chris shook his head. No, he didn't want to come today. You know, I think Ryan isn't sure what he wants to do, Jenny said when she found out Ryan wasn't coming to church. She was sitting in a circle with the other shoebox kids. Dee Dee flipped her head back to get the hair out of her eyes. I think he's annoying. No one said a word, but Dee Dee got a message from everyone's glares. Okay, okay, maybe not annoying, but he always says Christians are crazy or dumb. Just when I think we've made him change his mind, he does or says something that makes me wonder why I even want to be his friend. Chris felt his neck getting warm and wondered if it was turning red. Ryan was his friend, so he should at least say something in his defense. Suddenly, he had an idea. The disciples weren't the best followers of Jesus at first either. Jesus had to be their friend for a long time before they changed their attitudes. Now all the shoebox kids were looking at him. So was Mrs. Shue. Look at Peter, Chris added, shrugging his shoulders. Peter swore he didn't even know Jesus, and after all the love Jesus had shown him, too. I think Chris has made a very good point, Mrs. Shue said. I guess so, Dee Dee admitted. Sammy, Willie, and Jenny all agreed. Later, while the class was working on its lesson, Dee Dee came over and sat down next to Chris. I'm sorry for what I said about Ryan. I'll try to be more patient. Thank you, Chris replied. Sometimes I don't know how to act or what to say around Ryan either, but he is our friend. Mrs. Shue looked at her watch. Then she stood up in front of the class. Time really has gone quickly this morning. The other classes are probably out by now. Willie, will you have closing prayer? Willie nodded and maneuvered his wheelchair into the circle as everyone bowed their heads. Afterward, Mrs. Shue spoke again. Remember, this afternoon after potluck, we're going for a hike. Mr. Shue is going to take us. Dee Dee's parents and Pastor Hill are going, too. I think my mom and dad are going, Maria said. Good, Mrs. Shue said. See you all there. Even though a cool breeze was blowing, people were outside visiting in small groups after church. Chris put his Bible away in the car and was headed back to the church when Sammy caught up to him. Maybe we should invite Ryan to go on the hike with us, Sammy suggested. Yeah, I think so, too, Chris replied. I'll go find Mom and Dad and see if they'll pick Ryan up if he wants to go with us. Chris went inside and found Mom helping to fix potluck dinner. Mr. Vargas and Sammy Tan's grandfather were setting up tables. Good idea, Chris, his mom agreed. I'm sure your dad will pick Ryan up if he wants to go. Dad winked at Chris. No problem, Chris. You go ahead and call Ryan and let me know if he wants to go. Chris dialed Ryan's number while the other shoebox kids waited behind him. "May I speak to Ryan, please?" he asked when Ryan's mom answered the phone. He could hear Ryan being called to the phone, and then Ryan picked up the receiver. "Hello?" Ryan said. "Ryan, this is Chris. Maria, Jenny, Willie, Sammy, Dee Dee, and I were wondering if you would like to come with us on a hike this afternoon. Do you think you could come?" "Well, I don't know. I'd have to ask." "It'll be fun," Chris put in. "Okay, I'll go ask." Ryan put down the receiver. Chris cupped his hand over the mouthpiece while he waited. "What'd he say?" Jenny wanted to know. "He's asking," Chris whispered. A few seconds later, Ryan was back on the phone. "I can go." "Great. Dad and I will be there soon to pick you up."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 4, The Missing Combination Mystery, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.